The essence of tefillah is to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to make a structural observation about Shemoneh Esrei before we begin, which is very deeply rooted in the fact that tefillah is to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After HaMavorach HaSam Yisrael B'Shalom, we have a L'Kayin Tzar. It comes from the Gemara. It's not our own creation. Now the question is, the Shemoneh Esrei would seem to be all-encompassing. There's many highly specific brachas, which, as we pointed out last week, address all the basic needs of man. His physical needs, his spiritual needs, and our desire for geula. All of that is expressed in Shemoneh Esrei. And then we have Shema Kaleinu, a general bracha for Bakoshas. So why do we have the L'Kayin Tzar at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? Now, if you look in Masechta Brachos, this comes from Masechta Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, or L'Kayin Tzar. There's about two blot of tefillahs that the Amoraim recited, each at the end of that tefillah. Rav recited the tefillah that we use for we Ashkenazim, that is used for Birchas HaChodesh. That was the tefillah of Rav at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and there are many other tefillahs. So what was the point of these tefillahs? And in Parshas Vayechi we have Ashalokachti Mir HaMori B'Charbi U'B'Kashti, and the Targum renders that B'Tzlusi U'B'Usi. Tzlusi has to do with the format, the general format of tefillah. Bebusi means my personal bakoshas that I make, that are unique to me. And tefillah has both of those aspects to it. The general format, and as we saw, the Rambam says, midiraisa has a general format, which just touches everybody. Tachik has a sagdoyla, made it more specific, as will be this dino. Even the within the general format, they made a very specific format. And then there's the things that are not part of the general format. And that really, that's where the kind of Tzar comes in. As the Yehuda explains, where is the deepest connection that I'll have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tefillah? Is in the things that are dear to my own heart. Those things that are major things in my life, major strivings, major goals, major challenges, what I live with in my life, what's significant to me. Right? We have in the Mishnah and Avos, Hu Hoya Oimer. Now, all of them, as the Vilna Gaon points out, come from Sukkim. Every single statement in the entire Masechta Avos, if you look at the Perush Agro on the Avos, the Bir Agro on Avos, is just to show where there's a Pasuk that it's based on. Every single statement in Avos comes from a Pasuk. So what's Hu Hoya Omer? But Margalo Befume, this particular Amira had certain things that were foremost in his mind, and he talked about constantly. That's the Hu Hoya Omer. And that's the Be'usi in Tefillah, is the very personal dimension, the things that are significant to me, the things that I'm focused upon, the things that I want most. Because that's where we have the deepest connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amorayim said, they'll recite the tefillahs, and obviously they recited the tefillahs at a very high level. But even more than that, even a deeper connection than that, at a very personal need that they had. And that was expressed in the individualized bakoshas, which came at the end of the tefillah. So that's a very significant part of tefillah. So that we should connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the deeper the connection, then the more significant the tefillah is. So that's a general observation about the structure of Shmoneh Esrei. Well, we have the brachos, and after all the brachos, all of a sudden we have private tefillahs. Now, it's not enough for us to recite a Lokaina Tzar, because we'll go back to where we were before. Now, Lokaina Tzar was good for the Amir, for Amir Bereidu Ravina. That was in his mind. What's on my mind? And those are the things that are on my mind I should express during Elokeinu Tzar. Because that's where I'll feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu most viscerally. So that's the Yisoid. The Yisoid of Tefillah is the connection, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do in davening up until the Shmoneh Esrei is to bring us to the point that we're ready to connect. I don't want to go into that. I've gone into that other times. There'll be other times for it. But everything in davening is to prepare, up until Shmoneh Esrei, is to prepare us to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a general perspective. There have been varied neschois, texts of Shmoneh Esrei. As surprising as they may be, but there's not been one universal text. There's been a text in Nusach Eretz Yisrael and Nusach Bovel. We have Nusach Bovel. There was a Nusach Eretz Yisrael. And it pops up at times, the Nusach Eretz Yisrael. We have in our practice in Chutz Lords, the Vilna Goyim did not consent and they don't do it in Eretz Yisrael. But when we do the Birchas Kayanim, we end the Brocha of Ritzai, which is Chol Vadcha B'Yiron Avod. We don't say Amach Shechinos L'Tzion. Where does this come from? This was the Nusach Eretz Yisrael of that Brocha. Because the Beis Hamikdash stood. So there was no basis for a tefillah of Amach Shechinos L'Tzion. The Shechina was B'Tzion. So their Brocha was that the Beis Hamikdash should endure, and we should serve the Rabbeinu Shalom in there. Shechinos Chol Vadcha B'Yiron Avod. So whatever the reasons that on Yom HaNorah, on the times that we do the duchening, that we picked up a snip from the brachos of Eretz Yisrael. In Mogen Ovos, there's a reflection of Nusach Eretz Yisrael in the Mogen Ovos. There also, if you look in Purim, in the Kravitz for Purim, so there's for every bracha, there's a piyut. But there's no, for the Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach, there's one piyut. Because the Nusach, the Kalir, lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nusach, Eretz Yisrael, had only one bracha there. Had Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach combined together with each other. So they only had, before we had the enactment of Olam HaShinim, they had only 17 brachas. And that's where there are only 17 brachas. The Isa HaShalom that's used in the Yom HaNorah also comes from Nusach Eretz Yisrael. And that again, those that follow the Gro don't, as they do in most of the yeshivas, the minhag is to say, Amavarach HaSam HaYisrael HaShalom, which is what we do here in this Beis HaKnesses. So,
the reason why Nusach Eretz Yisrael
and Isa
HaShalom?
Why they ended up?
How is that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've not delved into that. But that was there. So these are reflections that there was a different Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei. Now, to me, the most striking word in the entire Shmoneh Esrei is the word Atah. That's the most striking word in all of Shmoneh Esrei. And the Goyin really expresses it, so I'm really stealing from the Goyin in a certain regard, but to me that's the most striking word. The word Atah in Shmoneh Esrei is the most striking word. The Goyin, when he writes that all the brachas, I mentioned last time, that all the brachas in Shmoneh Esrei from the beginning until Ritzei are all alluded to in the very first bracha. So he says the word atah refers to the bracha of ala tzadikim ala chasidim. That's the reference. And what's the reference? The reference is that tzadikim is tzadik goyis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. The tzadik wants something and he asks the Rabbeinu Shalom for it, he implores the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom is goyis, that will give what the tzadik wanted. The Rabbeinu Shalom is mevatel his rotzen before the rotzen of the tzadik. So that's the anvasanuso, the humbleness, the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's willing to submit himself to what the tzadikim ask for. So he said, and that's reflected in the word atah. It's atah is not a lashon of kavod. It's a very familiar word. Atah, you. It's the way I would sit and talk to someone across the table. How are you today? And to think for a moment that the Rabbeinu Shalom allows us to address him as atah. Right? The way his name, Ado, we understand. Master. Melech. But to address him as Ato. So to me, that's the most significant word in all of Shemoneh Esrei, is the word Ato. If each time we stop to think just of Ato, that we're having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought himself down to our realm. Well, we talked about Atam Reisam Ki Min HaShemayim Dibarti Imochem in the end of Parshas Yisro. So the Sforno says, this alludes to the notion of the Pasuk HaMakbi LaShabbos and HaMashpidi LeRois. The Rebbeinu Shem sits high in the heavens, yet he brings himself down to our level till we can access him. The thought is an unbelievable thought. And that's the tefillah that the Rebbeinu Shalom has given us constantly, anytime we have that access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anytime we want. It's available to us. To such an extent, there's a tshuva of the Rodeb Yehuda. And there's a very famous question. We say, the Rambam effect records both expressions in Shas. The Gemara in Brochus talks about tefillah. Tefillah is connected karbonos tiknum, or tefillah is ovos tiknum. And the Rambam in different places in the Yad references both. So, tefillah is connected karbonos, which means shachris corresponds to the tomet shel shachar, mincha to the tomet shel ben arbayim, and finally, marv has to do with the hekta chalavim before him, the things which were burned overnight on the mizbeach. Every time we daven tefillas musaf, we reference the psukim and the Torah, which refer to those, to the day at hand. So why is it that in shachris, for example, in mincha, we don't mention the korban? Can I get korban? So we should talk about some citation from the parsha that we read on Rosh Chodesh, parsha Sokor, the parsha Satomet. And yet there's nearly a mention of it in the entire Shemoneh Esrei, nothing. Very peculiar. And you see by how important it is, because by Musaf we always do it. So the Rebbe Yehuda says, because there's a maimer in the Gemara Brochas, the Gemara Brochas says that halavai we should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 1,000 times a day. Now, a korban can only be brought once a day. So if we had the korban mentioned in Shemoneh Esrei, we would not be able to daven more than once for each tefillah, once for the shachris, once for mincha. Let's say 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm desirous of speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, so I can get up and daven. It's the halacha, tefillas nedavah, I can bring a korban, a donated korban, a voluntary korban in the Beis HaMikdash. I can make a voluntary tefillah. The limitation being that if we make a voluntary tefillah, we better do a good job of it to really be tuned in. You know, there's the old joke. They said when I went to cheder, you know, they used to say like this, what happens if a guy daven Rosh Chodesh and he left that Yalav Yovo? So he davens again. What happens if he left it out the second time? He davens again. What happens if he left it out the third time? So they said you don't daven again. won't help any. It's a joke. It's not true, the halacha, but that's the issue of Tfilas Nedova. When we make a Tfilas Nedova, we have to really be tuned in. I'm telling the Rabbanish, I want to come speak to you. You want to come speak to me? He says, speak to me. Don't have your head someplace else. You know, the scary part about Tfilo is we say, you lerotz an imre fi, that's fine. Vehegyon libi lefanecho. And all the thoughts that are in my mind. Now, when we deal with people, all I have to worry is about the things that I say. If I know how to keep my thoughts to myself, I'm in pretty good shape. But before the Rabbanu Shalom, it doesn't help. The Rabbanu Shalom hears what we say, and he sees what we think. So all of that is before the Rabbanu Shalom too. So how careful we have to be in with the proper disposition for Tefillah when we get up to Daven. That's why it's known, Rav Aaron of Belz was a huge, huge tzaddik. He used to daven Shemoneh Esrei like lightning. So they asked him why. So he said, listen, but I have to daven, I'm a chuyav to daven, but I should stay there longer and my mind should wander before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and I'm a chutzah if I'm not. You know, it's... So he refused the Rav Aaron of Belz to daven long. Because it's when we daven, we take longer in tefillah, which is appropriate. The Gemara in Brocha says it's a big schus, but we have to use the schus properly, to be properly focused. So that's how much the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to connect with him. That we always have the opportunity, in the Yehuda says, no matter what, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At any time, at a day or night, any time of the year, wherever we may be, we can always connect with Hashem. And the Rabbeinu Shalom allows us to say, Atah. So that's a phenomenal, to me, it is the most phenomenal word in all of Shemoneh Esrei. Because on one hand, we strive to recognize and feel the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Van Vasanuso comes to us. He said, my children, you can call me Ata. Be very familiar with me. So if we stop to think, each time we do the word Ata in Shemoneh Esrei, that I'm holding a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're both on the line.
It's like in Germany. Do is familiar. Right?
Yes, correct.
And you don't say Z. If you don't know the person, you're supposed to say Z, right? Which is not familiar.
Oh, Z, when we're talking, Z is in German.
Word.
Yes.
A familiar word.
Yes. In Yiddish, we also have the same distinction. Ear is for a non-familiar, and do is for the familiar.
And you did really dare say that to a rav or something. You would never say that.
No, right? Correct.
But you can say that to
Kaddish Baruch Hu. That Kaddish Baruch Hu says, carte blanche. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling. We, with all the deficiencies that we have, with all the shortcomings of Abbas of Adam, Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Kol Yochel, right, the Beri Ha'ilam, and the Rabbeinu Shalom comes to listen to our tefillahs. He says, my children, I want to hear your tefillahs. So that's what I say. To me, the most wondrous word in all the Shemoneh Esrei is the word Ata. Leave out the word Ata. Baruch Hashem. Leave out the word Ato. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Avram, what's this? The word Ato. Baruch Chanon Amar B'Lisloyach. Baruch Hashem Chanon Amar B'Lisloyach. But we could leave out the word Ato.
If you translate it, you are the source of blessings.
But how do you translate it in the plural? Baruch is the source. But the source of blessings. But we don't need the word you. The word you is not necessary. Baruch Hashem means that Hashem is the source of all blessings. That's what it means. The word atah we could dispense with. But the word atah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's putting his hand out to us. You say, my children, the door is open. Re'evon Yenu, I don't remember if I talked about it last time. It's an important, no, I didn't. I'm giving the share in a few different places, so I don't remember always where I'm up to in it, in each, you know, where I come. Re'evon Yenu, Re'evon Yenu, was an odd bracha. Why is it an odd bracha? It ends Goyo Yisrael. But we have a bracha, Kab Shofa Godol Cheruseinu. We have a bracha, Re'evon. We have a bracha Hashiva Shofteinu and a bracha Vestemach. We have four brachas which deal with the Gula Asida. So what is this bracha? What do we want with this bracha? This seems to be duly expressed elsewhere in Shemoneh Esrei quite poignantly and quite specifically. Yerushalayim and the Migdash and Mashiach. So Rashi in Masechet Megillah tells us the Chassidim have a joke. It's the Chabatskas. They have a song even about it, a Russian song. And it reflects this notion, or reflects similar notions in many spheres. They say they were traveling to the Rebbe. So they're going to get to a certain inn. And when they're going to get to the inn, so it was cold out. They traveled through the Russian winter. So the innkeeper is going to give them a good vodka to drink to warm them up. So they have a song that Chabatskas have. And until you get there, you need a drink to get you till the inn. Which is, it's insightful in many things. There are many things in life we want to achieve. But until we get to the place that we need to go, we need somehow the inspiration to carry us, to get us there. And that's what Rashi says is the meaning of Re'ino V'Anyenu. Rashi Masechet Megillah says that this bracha is not on the Gula Asida. It's while we're in Golas, we should have many Gulas. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam should protect us from the world around us. It's a vile and dangerous world. As unfortunately, it's becoming more and more dangerous for us. You know, the non-Jewish world is clapping al chet that they had a moratorium on anti-Semitism for too long. You know, so they're deciding, you know, they have to clap al chet and do something about it. They're doing tshuva, going back, you know, to their ways. So it's the brocha. This brocha, Rashi says, is the Rabbanu Shalom should sustain us in the gulas so that we get to the gula. That's what this brocha is about. It's a bracha which, in light of Jewish history, is a very significant one and a very poignant bracha. So, this we have to keep in mind, that this is just to get us to Kav Shofar. We want to get there. So we need the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to protect us along the way. Brocha Rifa'enu has two aspects to it. And one aspect we usually go right by. It's only really the Mashal that picked up on it. The Gemara asks why the Brocha Rifa'enu comes after the Brocha of Aslicha B'Kapara. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk with Shav Rafalai, that a person will repent and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will heal him. So the Marsha says, he brings a Rambam, that the implication of that Veshova Rofalo is that it's referring to a spiritual malady, not a physical malady. And that's why it's placed at this point. So clearly it has to do with physical maladies, but the Marsha says based in the Pusik, that the Gemara builds it upon, Veshova Rofalo, that it deals with spiritual maladies as well. So in Rifa'enu really is a dual tefillah. Rifa'enu is for the Rifuas HaNefesh and Rifuas HaGuf. that the nefesh should be healed. Because Rabbi Yonah explains the following. We say, it's a kabo barachamim uvo rotzen as tefillah seiro. What's rotzen? What does the word rotzen mean? He doesn't address the tefillah directly, but he addresses the meaning of rotzen. Rotzen is that we should find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hold us in esteem. He said we could be forgiven for our chatoim, and the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Shmerel, listen, we're even. You stay away from me, and I'll stay away from you. You know? I don't want to know from you. You know, I'm not going to come and smack you up. That not, but I don't want to know from you. You know, I had a Chassidish friend. I have a Chassidish friend. And in business, he was very deeply wronged by someone. I mean, I knew the parsha, and he was very deeply wronged by someone. What was done to him was very, very unethical. And he suffered greatly from it until he recovered from it. And one day I'm sitting with him in his office. I went to visit him, and a guy calls him up for what he sells. And he says, I don't have any, but that place, go to that guy, he has. And that was the guy that made all the tzoros for him. So he gets off the phone, and I look at him, and he knows why I'm looking at him. He says, I've long forgiven him for what he did. Life went on. You know, I don't have the product. He has it. Let him have the business. But someone wronged him. So he was a very forthcoming person, a good-hearted person he is. Someone wronged him when he was a teenager, really grievously, whatever, in yeshiva. They really did something to him, you know, which caused him a great deal of humiliation, which there was no reason the person should have done. And long afterwards, the person came to him to ask him for mechila for what he did. So he told him, I said, I'm meichel you, and you don't need to come again. I'm meichel you, b'leiv shalom. But friends we're not going to be. Adkan, you know. Go live your life, and I'll lead mine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, I forgive you. But that's it. Nice knowing you. That's what rotzen. Rotzen means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks upon us in favor. You know, a guy comes to court, and he was found guilty on 7 charges, but for amazing time, the judge decides he doesn't want to put him away, so he gives him a suspended sentence. But don't come and ask for an award for being a model citizen. That you're not. You're not in jail, okay, but you're not a model citizen. We come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we want to be model citizens. So the Rosh is not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel berachamim. Rachamim, he could accept the good. He's not going to punish us. But we're not on his good list. Rotzen means we find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we need Rafa'inu for. Rafa'inu is, we could have been forgiven for the chet, but the spiritual damage still exists, which is a barrier between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Rabbeinu Shalom comes, and the Rabbeinu Shalom now has to clean up for us the mess that we made. Put on the Shema back in order. So that's the Rafua. So the Bracha of Rafa'inu is at 2 levels. It's in the physical level and at the spiritual level. They both exist. So that's one of the Brachas, which is at both levels. Like as I pointed out last time, Atachainen is at both levels. We need das to run our affairs of this world. We need das to become Bnei Olam Haba. Without das, it doesn't begin.
But the Rafa'inu, it's the Refuas and Nefesh from things that you did, or even things that are currently causing you, or the person sins because he has a
holy
nefesh.
Whichever it could be either way. It could even be for past chatam that he did tshuva for, but he wasn't zeicha yet to refua. So a person needs refuas ha nefesh too. in the deepest sense, that the Rishon has to be put back in order. So
it's
that...
It's not refa'enu.
Yeah, well, all the brachas are in that regard. Because the... No. Elisha, right, came to the Isha Shunamis. Right, Elisha came to the Isha Shunamis. It came to Shunem. And she used to supply him with a place, right, a mita on a bed, in a room, or whatever. So he asks her the following, Hayesh loch ledaber el ha-melech. I mean, the Novi has access to the king. He's from the elite members of society. So if you want a favor from the king, tell me. I'll ask the king for you. And she answers him, Besuchami Anochi Yoshevas. That's it. I'll be a regular citizen. I don't need any special favors from the king. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. And the Zohar renders the Pasuk in the following fashion, that the day was Rosh Hashanah. And Elisha said to her, Hayesh loch ledaber al ha-melech, is there any special tefillah you want me to pronounce for you before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And she answers, Elisha, b'soch ami anuchi yoshevus. I don't want to be singled out. I don't want to be a yochid on Yom HaDin. I want to be part of the tzibur. That's the greatest chus that we have, is that we're a chelik of the tzibur. And therefore we do not, the entire Shemoneh Esrei is never in the singular. The extra tefillahs at the end, they're in the singular, yes, because they're a very personal dimension. But everything that we're responsible for is Rafa'enu, etc. The Kabbalah Shavu Gala Chayruseinu, Hashiveinu, Choneinu, Meid Chodeh Abina Bahaskel. So we should be B'toch Ami Anuchi Yoshevus. We must follow together with the needs of Klal Yisrael. Now, so Hashiva, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecho, V'Karvinu Makenu L'Avayda Secho, V'Achazirenu B'Shuva Shleimu L'Fanecho. It's a very interesting bracha. It's almost in the reverse order of the way I would have written the bracha. I would have asked HaKadosh Baruch, I would start the bracha, Achazirenu B'Shuva Shleimu L'Fanecho, V'Karvinu Makenu L'Avayda Secho, and then Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecho. That's the, I would have put the bracha, the last phrase first, because this is the bracha Reitzim B'Shuva. Every other bracha begins. This is Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecho. Atachainain. All the brachas basically begin with what they end. And here we ask Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecho V'Karvinu Makenu L'Avodasecho. But L'Chayr, the pshat is to succeed a tshuva, we need tzchusim. Tshuva is not an easy thing to succeed at. It's, in one regard, from the hardest mitzvahs in the Torah. Why? Because it's hard to change ourselves. They say the altar of Slobodka said, and I saw many people become more refined, but people that changed, almost never. So, it's hard to change. We are a certain way for reasons of upbringing, personality, experiences, that all lend that we look at certain things in a certain way and we act in a certain fashion, different in certain situations. But those are not things that come in a vacuum. It's not frivolously decided. It stems really from the shirish, from the root of our personality. Of all the things, the factors that make us what we are, that's why there's certain things we do very well and certain things we do very poorly. It's the same root. The root has good sides to it and it has poor qualities to it. And just as the good qualities reflect our roots, the poorer qualities also reflect our roots. And to change ourselves, basically we're talking about an inner metamorphosis. It's not something external. You know, there's something that I did something once in my life. At that point in time, I still can change my mind and say, no, I'm not interested in it. It's not part of me yet. But kevan, once a person did something and he repeated that behavior, Chazal tell us it's nasas likaheta. It becomes part and parcel of his personality. It's part of us. That's not so easy to change anymore. So for that we need schusim. And Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sar HaSecho. The schus haTorah is foremost. Right? There's a maimer of Rav Meir that the Bali Musa will cite, that if a person was chaytik and he wants to do tshuva, so what does Rav Meir say? Whatever I learned, double what I learned before. And the schus of augmenting, of increasing my learning, that will give me the schus for kapar. So the person starts off, he wants to do tshuva. But tshuva, as we said, is a hard thing to do. If the New Year's resolutions make it to January 3rd, it's pretty good. So we want to succeed. So what we have to do is to elevate ourselves in Torah. The korvenu makenu la'avodah secho means we should draw through tefillah. That's drawing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means we want to korvenu makenu, the Rabbeinu Shalom, we're asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, in effect through tefillah, to draw us closer to Him. We should feel His presence more and be more motivated to do the mitzvahs. After that, then I can say, Rabbeinu Shalom, hachzirenu v'shuv v'shleim alafanecha. That's a tefillah that's real. If I don't prepare the ammunition beforehand, then what's hachzirenu v'shuv v'shleim alafanecha? It's a chaotic cause. It will never succeed. So here we first have to strengthen ourselves in Torah. Strengthen ourselves by drawing closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom and asking Him to draw us closer to Him. After that, I can first tangle with tshuva. So tshuva is a very, very difficult process. But the brachas lay bare what the process is. After we do tshuva, we need kapara from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, kapara comes in different levels. And there's this is an endless discussion. What's slicha and what's mechila, which is greater? The Rishonim talk about it. In the Shmoneh Esrei, it also gives us a particular perspective on it. Chet is b'shoigeg. Pshia, pashanu, is b'mezid, or even b'merit. But it's a form of, an extreme form of mezid. So we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, slachlonu avinu ki chatanu. Slicha means, the way that the Shmoneh Esrei uses it is to totally rectify the chet. Shoigeg wasn't such a big chet in the first place. So we can ask for slicha. Mechalonu makenu ki foshonu. For amazed that it should be totally removed from the scene, you know, that's pretty hard to achieve. But at least Mechalonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should not act to punish us. It was Bechila. But it doesn't restore the situation, doesn't remove the chet in the same way that Tzlicha does. So tshuva comes at different levels. Tshuva comes at different levels. So we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, Chanun, the compassionate one, Hamar B'Lisloyach, means in effect we're really asking, we want Tzlicha, not only for the chatoim, we want slicha for the pshoim too. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is a marbe l'sloyach. So we're hopeful that in that ribuy, the intensity of a slicha, that will include not only the shoygigim, the shkogos, but will be zoycha that the Rabbeinu Shalom will address the mezidim too, the mezid, the things we've done, willfully done wrong, knowingly did wrong. No, the Baruch of Baruch Aleinu, right? We haven't talked about yet. There are two neschois in this Baruch. V'sabenu mituvecho or v'sabenu mituvo. Mituvecho is a reference to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're asking the Rabbeinu Shalom to bestow His good upon us. And Sabenu mituva means from Eretz Yisrael. The modern Taina says that all bracha that comes to the world comes through Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe Shem showers bracha upon Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the hub from which it goes forth to the entire world. I tell always my Israeli friends, the problem is that it arrives in Eretz Yisrael on an express train, and there are no stops until it gets to Chutz La'aretz. You know, the parnasa goes right out. But Gemara says in Tainus that the schus of parnasa comes, of brocha, this world comes through Eretz Yisrael. So that's the goyin is goyris with sabeinu mituva. It's from the tuva of Eretz Yisrael that we have sphere, that we have what we have. So it's a very interesting thing. We say that where did the tefillahs ascend to Shemayim? Through the Makom HaMikdash. That's the tzino, the pipeline for the tefillahs to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's also the pipeline for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reach us. The bracha, the shefa to the world, comes down to Eretz Yisrael. And in the schus of Eretz Yisrael, it's nispashet, it spreads throughout the world. So that's with sabeinu mituva, that we should, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give bracha, and that all of us should receive bracha, the birchas Eretz Yisrael should be bestowed upon all of us. So the tefillahs go through Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe Shlomo's response comes back through the same pipeline, in effect, through Eretz Yisrael, back to us. Even in the absence of the Mikdash, you don't need the Mikdash. There's not a Tully in the Mikdash.
Does it go through the place where the place of Mikdash was?
I don't know. That I don't know. The Gemara is non-specific. The Gemara in Tainus. I would think yes, but that's my thought. As I say, I can't tell you that I know that for a fact, because the Gemara that I know of, the Gemara in Tainus, is non-specific. But it just says in the S'chus of Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Brocha comes to the world. Let's go forward for a moment. We have a bracha of the Mashinim at Yisikva. Now, in the original Nusach, and the way the Sfardim was found, this is not the original text of this bracha. The original text of this bracha was Alam Shumodim al Tehi Sikva. Mishumodim are those that left Yadus to join other religions. Now that's why this bracha was written. During the second bias, at the time when the early Christian group started, they were not differentiated from Klal Yisrael. You didn't know who the guy sitting next to you in shul was. What is he, on your side or the other side? You had no idea. So that's what the Gemara says. They enacted a bracha, and Shmuel HaKotan wrote it. And if a guy, a chazan, didn't want to say this bracha, they booted him off. They kicked him out. Because this was very suspicious that probably he was one of those people that the bracha was intended against. Right? Fortunately for us is the fact that ultimately the religion moved away from us. They did away with Mitzvah Maisius, they changed the day to Sunday, so they were highly differentiated from us. But in its early years, when you went to shul, you did not know who the guy was standing next to you, where he was. So this was the bracha. This bracha started off being V'lam Shemodim Al Tehi Sikva. But I guess, I presume this is somewhere along the way, I presume it's a censorship matter that it came about, that they changed it in the Ashkenazic world. The Sephardic world did not change this bracha. So this bracha is really just the 19th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei in our order. The Shemoneh Esrei initially existed without this bracha. It's a later addition that they added to the bracha to respond to an internal crisis, not an external crisis, but an internal crisis that we had. Within our own community, we were not so sure what was going on. So, now in the Bracha of Yerushalayim, there's a very famous kasha. That kasha is, the Bracha ends, let's go back a step. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim says that the structure of a Bracha should be the following. Me'ein chasima somoch lechasima. The phrase which precedes the ending Bracha should be a tie into that ending Bracha, which is true in all the Brachas in Shmoneh Esrei. V'loi nevo eshki v'chaba tochnu, Baruch Ata Hashem b'shanu miftoch letzadikim. Every bracha, the phrase that precedes the ending baruch leads into that. So in order to come out in the bracha of Yerushalayim, it should be the opposite way around. Then it should say, "Uvnei Yosob Bekarov Yomeinu, Amruch Ato Hashem Boinu Yerushalayim." And I believe in the Nusach Ari, that's the way it is. It is, those two phrases are inverted, in Nusach Ari. But in our Nusach, it's not inverted. So this is particularly odd why this is the case. So there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that says there was a coin. And on one side it had Yerushalayim, and the other side it had the Malchus Beis David. So in effect, what the Gemara is saying is Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David are two sides of the same coin. I mean, the purpose of Yerushalayim is ultimately to have the Malchus Beis David. So when we're talking about that, we're talking about Malchus Beis David, Yerushalayim, the shleimus of that is when there's Malchus Beis David. That's the completion of Yerushalayim. So Mameila, they say the bracha makes sense, but it's incomplete. Without what? Until V'chisi David Meheru L'Soicha Tochen. Then the binyan of Yerushalayim is complete. So Mameila, that's why this bracha has an inverted order, an unusual order, in how it's set up, that we break not from the phrase of V'nei Yosob B'Korob Yomeinu Binyan Olam, but rather from V'chisi David Meheru L'Soicha Tochen. And then we go into Bina Yerushalayim. Yes, Tzemach David means Poshet, as we're asking for Mashiach to come. It's part of the Tefillah. Three times a day we must pala for Mashiach. But the question is, do we really want Mashiach to come? So the Chofetz Chaim, the Tzar, wrote a letter. The Chofetz Chaim certainly wanted Mashiach to come. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a letter in which he states the following. We may feel ill-prepared for the coming of Mashiach. And therefore we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, do us a favor, put it off for a while so I should get my house in order. I should be ready to receive Mashiach appropriately. So the Chofetz Chaim says we shouldn't do that. For the greater good of Klal Yisrael, we should ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to send Mashiach right away. And we'll have to catch up whatever we have to catch up, but we shouldn't put our own impediments in the pathway of Mashiach. And that's the Tzemach David Avduchom Heiros Atzmiach. And the Vilna Gaon says that that's Velokei Avoseinu, alludes to this bracha, that the Gula Asid is only B'schus the Ovos. That's ultimately what we're going to be Zoich, and the Gula Asid is B'schus the Ovos. So when we say Velokei Avoseinu, that's the reference to a Tzemach David Avduchom Heiros Atzmiach in the reference of the first bracha to the bracha of Bias HaMashiach. So I give a little bit of survey tonight of some of these, a good number of the brachas in Shmoneh Esrei, and what they are about, and the focus that we can have on each of these brachas as we go on about our own tefillahs.